Hi, I'm arm wrestling for the Stop. Starting over. Hi, I'm arm wrestling for the bulldog vote, and I'm Allison.
Sorry. And I'm extorting my ex-boyfriend's murderer. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's bitches. Wow, off to a great start. This is you're gonna hear our second take, folks. Folks at home, we're struggling.
You're gonna have to cut out like 30 seconds of me laughing.
I have to do that so many times in every single episode. Yeah, I'm sorry if you listen to us and think, wow, they start laughing a lot. Just know I cut out long pauses because the thing about laughing is you can't even really hear it. Like, because, a normal laugh isn't like, ha ha ha, into the mic. So it just kind of sounds like into the mic. So I try to cut those out. Anyway, we're here to talk about chapter 30, The Noose Tightens.
Yeah, it opens with Jughead narrating, and he lets us know that Cheryl is at the sisters, and that she's doing conversion therapy. The only time she looks forward to is movie night, and that's because she can imagine her friends. And then they show Cheryl in movie night, and the movie they're watching is a like 50s propaganda film about the dangers of homosexuality, but the two stars are Moose and Kevin.
Like, who should experience homophobia right now? Kevin.
Kevin. When shouldn't Kevin experience homophobia, according to the Riverdale writers?
Think we should actually be grateful that Kevin was never sent to conversion therapy. Like, that's
Honestly,
kind of
yeah.
shocking.
Surprising, a little bit surprised that Kevin never sent himself to conversion therapy.
Stop. Stop. You know about my college roommate.
Anyways, then at school, Alice is hosting a town hall debate for student body president, which apparently the whole town is invited to.
What? The whole auditorium is filled with people. Has anyone given a shit about who was running for class president? Like, I was not exactly involved in high school, but I don't think I ever voted for
My
president, for class president. I vote in actual elections.
high school was messed up. You didn't vote for class president. It was like, so there was like a class board for each class. And that board you could get on by like applying. And then they were chosen and put on the board. And the board for the senior class voted for themselves who the class president was, like who the student body president was. There was no vote across the school.
Wow, democracy is dead.
So I remember very distinctly sitting in AP Calc senior year and so, like a guy offhandedly making a comment about how he was student body president. And I was like, what?
Like, who are you? Yeah, so they're doing the debate. Josie is running with Reggie for some
Interesting.
reason. This whole episode, I'm like, we'll talk about Reggie later,
I
but
guess
I
because
don't
she.
understand whose side Reggie's on.
I don't either. I guess because she hates Veronica, so she wants to get back at Veronica by running with Reggie.
Don't split the vote. Come on. With Jughead and Betty. Anyway, yeah, they're fighting, they're beefing. After the debate, Alice is trying to find Betty because she moved out last episode, and she instead Betty and Jughead sneak away, and instead she talks to FP and tells him that Betty should come back home because he's letting them live in sin in his trailer.
In the quote is FP, you should be ashamed of yourself, letting my sweet, innocent daughter live in sin in that soup can you call a trailer.
Innocent daughter?
Was it the last episode with the wig?
Last episode.
It has been one day, Alice, since you found out that your daughter wears like a rig to role play during sex with her boyfriend.
Yeah, but FP is actually very sweet about it because he's like, do you think this is what I want? Him and Jughead are sleeping on the pullout couch so that Betty can have a bedroom, which is just very sweet and, yes, would be very annoying if you're a grown man.
Yeah, it does kind of make me wonder where he was sleeping when Jughead was there. Because, like, are they sharing a bedroom?
I think Jughead sleeps on the pullout couch by himself, typically.
Okay. Got it.
Effie has a room, but now they have to both sleep on a pullout couch.
Fascinating. Yeah. Then the Lodges are talking to Mary and Fred about the mayoral race. And Fred makes some digs at Hermione and Hiram. And he says that he's the best candidate because he's actually lived in Riverdale his whole life and didn't move away and has never been to prison.
He's like, well, I never went to New York. And then they show Hermione, never went to prison, and they show Hiram. I'm like, got him. I loved Fred this episode. I was eating it up. I think because we were so hyped on Fred during last podcast that watching this, I'm like, that's my man. Anyway, gay icon. Mary is also there, and Hiram still wants, or Mary wants him to sign the papers to release Fred from the Sodale contract, and the Lodges want Fred to sign an NDA in exchange. And Archie and Veronica just want this to be a fair fight because their parents are fighting as always.
Yeah. Then the Lodges plus Archie get back to the Pembroke, and some of the other mob bosses are there waiting for them. And Hiram tries to get rid of them, but they won't leave, and Hiram's just, like, clearly stressed about the whole situation.
Yeah, Archie, is also clearly worried. Mary, next scene, Mary wants Archie to be at Fred's campaign launch, like, him officially announcing that he's running for mayor. And she says that he's too proud to ask himself, but it would mean a lot to him. And Archie's like, of course I'll be there.
Yeah, he's a good son. then Alice gets home, and Chick is sitting in front of the TV, like 3 inches away in the dark. Sorry, it was so funny. Anyways, and then is like, oh my god, Alice, look at the TV. And the TV is the news announcing that they found a car in the swamp outside of Riverdale. So, sounds like they found the sketchy man's car. So, not looking great.
Not looking great. We see the Riverdale logo, intense ending, and then commercial break. And then at Pops, FP, Alice, Betty, and Jughead are all sitting around worried. FP's asking them about, like, fingerprints in the car, like, were they wearing gloves? And they said they wiped the car down, like, there shouldn't be any fingerprints. And then they make the plan that if anyone asks them anything, they don't know anything, and that they should be acting normally.
Yeah. Apparently the car was found because Junkyard Steve just goes and searches the swamp for abandoned cars. Which, how many abandoned cars are found in the swamp? That makes it worth Junkyard Steve's time.
Seems like only if the person was murdered. Like, why else would you just abandon wouldn't you just abandon it on the side of the road? Like, it's a lot of work to sink a car. Or we saw
try
that.
To sell it for parts or something.
I don't know.
Anyways, also FP is annoyed that Chick isn't at Pops. And Alice is like, no, it's fine. He doesn't know anything. And Betty says, normally I would disagree. Definitely worry about Chick.
She's being sassy.
It was just so sassy. And I was like, Betty, we all know you hate him. Like, this was unnecessary.
We know. So then we see Hiram is talking about why the other mob bosses were in town, and they think that Hermione being mayor or running for mayor is too risky because it brings a lot of attention to them and their doings. And he's like, we need to circle the wagons. Archie, you need to watch Veronica wherever she goes. And his plan is to have a dinner with them to talk it out. And Archie really wants to come to the dinner because of course he does.
Yeah. And Hiram says, you do always find a way to make yourself useful, Archie. And agrees to let him come. The homoeroticism between Archie and Hiram only increases as the episode continues. I just need everyone to know that.
It's so bad, but it's like, we have to discuss it. It's in the text.
Like, it's so blatant. It has to be, like, it has to be real. Just further proof that the whole purpose of Riverdale was simply because that one guy wanted to make Archie gay.
Archie's weird dream. Can't believe. Anyway, Riverdale ended this week. It did. Just to date this episode, ended iconically. No spoilers, but
we'll get there.
In due time. Then we see like whatever club Jughead started, that just so the serpents can hang out.
Sword and Snakes, I think.
Oh yes, they're hanging out, and Sweet Pea's mad because Jughead is sucking up to the North Side by running with Betty. And what?
I'm sorry, Sweet Pea's motivation here makes zero sense to me.
I just don't understand the viable alternative. Like, he's like, none of the candidates care about the Southsiders. Okay, fair enough.
Fair.
Jughead doesn't care because he's sucking up to the North Side, and he says, you just lost the serpent vote. Who are they gonna vote for? Like, Archie? Reggie? I guess Veronica? Or Reggie? Which of them are gonna help the South Side?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Also, they didn't have a problem with Betty until right now. Like,
yes, and isn't Betty a serpent?
Yeah, she did the serpent dance. Anyways.
But they're mad specifically because they say that she's going to bail on us just like Alice did back in the day. Which, like, so you're 16 years old. I don't think Alice betrayed you personally. Calm down.
Also, they're like, annoyance seems to be that A, she left and then just like writes a lot of bad things about them, but she's not writing about them anymore. Like, it's been a while, so why are you suddenly mad about it? Whatever.
The newspaper also got sold to Hiram Lodge, so she doesn't even work there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But Sweet Pea is still, he's clearly quite upset about this, and he calls Alice an enemy of the serpent state.
Which also, isn't FP the king? Like, sorry, we're really getting into this, but FP is the freaking serpent king. So who the fuck are you, Sweet Pea? Like, you're no one.
He's a serpent. I don't know. Anyways, so Jughead lost the serpent vote. In other election news, Reggie talks to Archie in the locker room and says, let's settle this once and for all. We're both bulldogs who like wolves, support the alpha. So they need to decide who's gonna be the bulldog. That's gonna get all of the football kids votes, I guess. And Reggie wants to decide this through a contest, which the contest is an arm wrestle.
Of course.
Obviously. So you won the alpha. How else would you settle this dispute?
No other way. Yeah, so they start arm wrestling, and it looks like Reggie might beat Archie, but surprise, Reggie, again, I just don't understand what side he's on, because he's like, guess what, you're gonna lose, same as your dad, and that gives Archie, like, the strength to beat Reggie at the arm wrestle. What, you were just literally last episode, he's like your dad is gonna, to Veronica, your dad is gonna be the first one in that prison he's building, and now he's going after Archie's dad. Who do you support?
I think Reggie is just, he's an equal opportunity asshole, I guess. I don't know. He's an agent of chaos. That's what he's here to do. He is to sow chaos amongst our characters by just insulting their fathers.
Yeah, pretty much. So Archie wins.
Bam. Then Tony goes to talk to Veronica and Josie about Cheryl being MIA now. And it explains that Penelope told her she went to a Swiss boarding school, and Veronica's like, well, that's easy to check, there's only one of them,
bitch.
I was like, of course Veronica knows that. Tony says that Cheryl's social media has been silent for a few days, and so we don't even need to check anymore, we just know something's wrong.
Me, if I stop liking things on Twitter, you know, yeah. I'm in conversion therapy.
Me too.
So then, I
need to know before we move on.
Yes.
Veronica and Josie are both wearing the, like, yellow River Vixen warm-up, like, practice shirts, but branded with their campaign logos. So Veronica has a shirt that is the, like, River Vixen practice shirt, but on it says Team Varchi.
I wrote that down later. Amazing.
It's beautiful. I have no notes.
No notes. So then at conversion therapy, we see that, I said they found her roots. If you're familiar with But I'm a Cheerleader, that's basically what they're talking about. One of the sisters is like, Cheryl, we know why you're a deviant. Your Nana used to switch, because she's twins with Jason. Mm-hmm. So Nana Rose, because she has bad vision, sometimes dressed Cheryl in Jason's clothes and Jason in Cheryl's clothes, which, question, is Jason gay? But they decide that this is the reason that she's a deviant. But trauma, and she's been through a lot, but trauma does not excuse willful behavior. So, yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah. And until Cheryl starts to, like, behave herself, they're going to send her to physical therapy, is what they said. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be normal physical therapy. Anyways, then Hiram is at an Italian restaurant. So apparently there might be more than one restaurant in Riverdale. We're not certain, though.
We found the second restaurant.
I guess we don't have confirmation that this is in Riverdale, though. It could be the next town over.
True.
Considering these people are from, like, what, Montreal?
Yeah, and we know that Papa Poutine did not like Pops, so maybe like they don't want to go back.
Anyways, so the opposing mob bosses, who I think are Carl and Lenny?
Yeah.
Are their first names? They want a 25% cut of the profits Hiram makes off of the prison. And Hiram's like, no, if I give you that, then I won't make any money.
Yeah.
But they don't care. They say Hiram's weak because they have all of his men from Montreal and New York now. They call Archie a zit-faced high school kid.
I also wrote that down. I was like, damn. I'm like, okay, KJ Apple is so hot. Like, we don't, come on. He's not zit face.
Not a single zit has ever been seen in Riverdale.
They're all 27 years old.
Yeah.
I still get zits. I had a bad zit today.
I have one right now. You just can't really see it on the...
How old do you have to be? That's my question for the listeners. When do you stop getting zits? Anyway, Archie decides to respond, and he says, don't underestimate me. Claims, some wild claims, including that he says that he beat up Nick Sinclair, which is true. He says that he killed Papa Poutine, or implies that he killed Papa Poutine, and implies that he killed the thief that attacked them in the lodge.
Yeah.
Don't admit to murders you didn't do would be my advice.
Archie is talking some shit. He wants to be scary.
He's being very intense, and they literally just start laughing at him. And they're like, you almost had us, kid. Ha ha ha. And they're like, consider the offer, Hiram.
Yeah. It was so funny. I think if I was Archie and I just gave this like speech trying to be badass and scary, and then they literally laughed, I would just start crying.
I would kill myself. I would like, this is it.
End of the line for Archie.
Yeah. Then after we see Hiram talking to Archie, and he says that Archie needs to back up his warning shot. If he's going to be making all these bold claims, he needs to step to it. And then after Archie agrees, he says, you're a good boy, Archie.
I also wrote that down. Like, it's just, it has to be intentional.
That one, I was like, okay, that has to be intentional.
There's no way you write that line and without the, like, yeah, this is, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's the dichotomy of Riverdale writers, is they're writing this like conversion therapy plotline while they're writing this Hiram Archie plotline. And that's the duality of man.
The duality of man is shown right there. Anyways, aside from the homoerotic tensions between a high schooler and his girlfriend's dad, Betty is ranting to Jughead about how the serpents won't accept her. It's like, what do I have to do? Wear flannel? Which was funny. And then Jughead's like, well, you know, Alice did betray us. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
I just, like, don't understand why this is suddenly relevant.
I don't get it either. But anyways, we pretty quickly move past that, and it turns out that Betty's really just stressed about the car. Which, yeah, fair enough. And then Jughead decides that it's a good idea for them to investigate the car. And what are they trying to learn?
Here, no. Let me explain. They're like, Betty's like, we are supposed to be acting normally. What would we normally do if we heard this story? They would try to solve the mystery. So they're acting like that so people don't get suspicious that they're not meddling in something they have nothing to do with, because that's what they always do.
What if you were so infamously annoying that you had to become annoying to seem normal?
That's exactly what they're doing. So of course they call Kevin up. And at Pop's, they're like asking him questions about the car, and he's like, why do you care? And she's like, it's so bad for the environment that people use the swamp as a dumping grounds. Which, what? Do people do that? I guess. And Kevin's like, true. She's like, I'm so bad for the environment.
Hita, I am your number one target.
Kevin says that the owner claimed the car today, which I'm not an automobile expert, but would the car not be broken if it was in the water for weeks?
I don't know. I would assume so, but I'm also not an automobile expert.
So now they're trying to figure out who stole it in the first place.
Yeah. Then Alice is yelling at Jughead and Betty for this, and says, has shacking up together driven you both completely insane?
Yes.
Yes, it has. So then they reveal that they found out that the shady man stole the car, and Chick is like, yeah, he was constantly borrowing his girlfriend's car. Like, what about it?
Chick is so unhelpful. He's like, yeah, it's probably Darla, is the girlfriend's car that he probably stole. And Alice is like, okay, I'm done. Betty, come move back in with me right now. And Betty still says no until Chick says that he will move out so that Betty can come back home.
Yeah. Betty also thinks Chick is unhelpful and says, shocker, gee, Chick, have you ever actually been helpful in any way to anyone? Which is just harsh.
It's
it's accurate, homophobic, but harsh. Also, Betty is wearing the ugliest sweater I've ever seen.
I was about to say that.
Oh, you can go describe.
Okay, Betty is wearing the sweater that is teal, and it has what I call a pseudo square neck. So, like, picture a sweater that would have a square neck, except it doesn't have a square neck, but the whole area between, like, the square neck and the normal sweater collar is lace. And on this lace, there are these huge, ugly, multicolored, embroidered flowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
So she wears it for the rest of the episode, and we are forced to witness that.
It's unfortunate.
Anyways, Cheryl is in the basement moving like heavy bags of flour or something. So this is, I guess, what physical therapy is. And she's like almost done, and then she's told that she stacked them in the wrong corner. So like they're clearly gaslighting her and trying to physically exhaust her. This plotline is just sad.
It is. They really did take on conversion therapy with this one. Luckily, Josie, Veronica, and Tony barge into the Blossoms trying to get some information about where Cheryl is. And Josie's like, well, if you don't tell us, like, Penelope's still denying it and saying she's in Switzerland or whatever. And Josie's like, well, if you don't tell us anything, my mom's dating Sheriff Keller, so maybe, like, you'll have to answer his questions. And that's when Penelope does admit that they had to send Cheryl away. She does say sent abroad, but they had to send Cheryl away because of her deviant behavior. And hands Josie the sketch that Cheryl made of her and Josie together. And I just said, damn, because I was like... ouch. It's really sad, and Josie is like very taken aback and doesn't know how to react. Penelope is slaying as she's in her homophobic era. She is slaying in this black lacy top with this long maroon skirt that has metallic buttons and like these kind of like diagonal pockets that look really cool, and is wearing these black dangly earrings. She's slaying.
He is a homophobic slay. Josie storms out of Thistle House, and Veronica and Tony are like, wait, we need to regroup and like refigure out what's going on here. And Josie's like, no, Cheryl like probably sent me a pig's heart and kind of threatened me not too long ago, and I can't do this anymore, and she's out, which is like honestly kind of fair of Josie.
It's just so unfortunate. Like, the Riverwell writers knew they were going to send Cheryl to conversion therapy and still decided to have her act in this like absurd, not at all okay way to Josie. It's just like, it's mixed messaging there.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. Then Betty is talking to Alice in the kitchen because she wants her to sign a consent form to get a serpent tattoo.
That'll fix all your problems, Betty. Absolutely. Get the tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Get the tattoo for your boyfriend. Alice says no, and then Betty's like, well, I'm already practically a serpent, and if you just refuse to sign this, I'll just find someone who will do it without the consent form. So Betty's determined.
Yeah, and just then, Chick comes in, and he's like, I'm sorry, I was trying to help. And who walks in behind him but Darla? Which I'm like, Chick, we get no explanation for why Chick did this. What were you trying to do?
I don't know what he was trying to do here. Also, sorry. Darla comes back later.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I think so too, but I was like, I think that's her, but I don't know. Anyways, not the point. Yeah, Darla's here. She's the Shady Man's ex-girlfriend. But before we find out what's going on there, Archie comes downstairs and Jughead is talking to Fred in the kitchen, and Jughead is apparently helping Fred write his like campaign announcement speech. And Archie just looks a little uncomfortable, and so do Jughead and Fred, and it's just kind of sad.
Damn, when your best friend steals your dad. It's sort of all like, then I guess we do get some sort of explanation of Chick called her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, mm-hmm. Chick thought, oh, he thought he could sniff out what I knew, but I saw right through him. And she's like, you know, I don't mind. Like, my boyfriend was terrible. Who knows what happened to him? Maybe he was killed. Dot, dot, dot.
He might have gotten killed by a hooker. We don't know.
Yeah.
Implication.
Yeah, so she says if she gets 10 grand, she will just leave without talking to anyone.
Yeah. But she says that if she doesn't get the money, she's going to go to Sheriff Keller and have to tell him what she knows. And so Betty starts being like, well, we don't know anything about this. What are you talking about? But then Alice just immediately interrupts and is like, we just don't have that money on us. We have to go to the bank.
Which, I mean, duh, who has 10 grand in their house?
That's what I want to know.
But Betty's like,
if it was Veronica, you could just give her a Fabergé egg. Sorry, a Glamourgé egg.
<Do-do-do-do>. That was Evan just saying a fake Riverdale brand that isn't even in this episode.
I'm just remembering things.
Betty is whatever. Alice wants to just give her the money.
Mm-hmm.
Betty's like, the bank doesn't open up till tomorrow morning. So Darla's like, guess I'm staying the night.
She asked if they have any board games, which was really funny to me.
Yeah.
Then Archie talks to Veronica as they're walking home, and he is sad about the fact that his relationship with Fred isn't as good as it used to be. But then they get into the Pembroke, and Andre is being beaten by a man in a ski mask with a hammer. So then Archie decides to chase after him because he has a flashback to the black hood, because like ski mask hood, you know. Then he catches up to the guy in the alley outside, tackles him, and it's Adams, who apparently has changed sides. And in his moment of shock, Archie gets punched in the face, and then Adams tells Archie to tell Hiram to take the deal.
Yeah. Before all this happens, while they're walking in for their conversation, Veronica says, God and Gucci willing, Cheryl is safe. Had to include that one. But yeah,
that one was good.
Adams
that one
fucking
was good.
Betrayed them. And I must say, they're then like talking about this, and someone says that, oh, like Adams is a turncoat. This is the second time turncoat is used in this episode, because earlier Sweet Pea of all people calls Alice a turncoat. Is this in day-to-day vernacular? I was so taken aback that like it was used twice in one episode.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't just call him a traitor or something.
Yeah, that seems more typical.
Like, I could see the lodges calling him a turncoat. It's Sweet Pea.
I don't know.
Whatever. Then Hiram and Hermione debrief and strategize with Veronica and Archie about what they're going to do now, because they're down to zero henchmen at this point. And Archie offers to, like, become the henchman.
He's like, I can sit outside, keep watch. I did it for my dad. I'll do it for you. And Hiram tells Veronica she can only go to school, and Archie needs to, like, walk with her to and fro. And he's like, long term, he's like, that's a short term plan. Long term, I don't know. They're flopping.
Yeah, the Lodges are kind of in a flop moment. It's not great for them. In the morning, Betty leaves to go to the bank, and my only comment was that Darla calls her Blondie, which I thought was funny.
My other comment is they're all wearing the same clothes as yesterday, and, like, I guess I don't expect you to go take a shower and change, but also, why not? You had to stay there all night.
I guess Darla didn't want them to escape?
Oh, okay. They have to just sit at that very table?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how hostage situations work. I'm not a criminal.
Thank God for that. Then we see Penelope is, like, leaving for the day and sets up Bob Ross on the TV for Nana Rose to watch. And she's like, I'm gonna be gone, just to, like, watch TV. And as soon as she walks out, Nana Rose sees the phone across the room, and as we remember, she was, like, paralyzed, like, because she fell down the stairs or whatever a couple episodes ago, and she starts crawling.
She's been in a wheelchair this whole time. Like, she cannot walk.
Yeah, but I feel like she should be able to. Was she in a chair? Not
she was in a chair.
Oh, so it was an intentional.
Yeah.
Trapping. Wow.
I think Penelope was not about to leave her with mobility.
Nana Rose is an ally because then she flops off of her chair and starts, like, trying to get towards the phone. And I was like, okay, wait 30 seconds. Like, Penelope, as soon as she leaves, I'm like, she could have heard that, but anyway.
What if she forgot her keys? Like,
yeah.
Whatever. She gets to the phone, or she's flopping over to the phone. Then Tony is learning about the Bastille, which was funny to me for some reason.
I don't know why.
I think it's because literally the only thing I remember from AP Euro is that Bastille Day is July 14th, 1789, and that is the only fact I remember from that entire AP course.
You're such a loser. Why do you know that?
Okay. Anyways, then Tony is called out, so she's never gonna know that Bastille Day is July 14th, 1789. And she goes to the office because Nana Rose is calling the school and says that it's urgent and she needs to talk to Tony. And she says that Cheryl is with the sisters. But before she can truly explain what's going on, the line is cut off because Claudius found Nana Rose on the floor with the phone.
That's bad. Then we see Alice calling Betty, who's at the bank, and she tells her not to come home because there's another one here now. And it's the guy who attacked Chick at the hostel. It's not good.
My thing.
Yes. Now
that we're discussing it, Alice has the phone and can call Betty. Why not call Sheriff Keller and be like, these people are holding me hostage? I know they don't want them to, like,
chase. They're going to tell the murderer.
Yeah, but
that they murdered him.
I do think if you were like, no, they're crazy, they were holding me hostage in this town, that'd lend more weight.
Yeah, I mean, they don't 100% know if there's any fingerprints or anything on the car. Like, who knows what Chick will do under pressure if he gets, like, brought in. I feel like Alice is probably more scared about ending up in prison. And now that Betty's out of the house, like, she tells her, don't come back. So she's, like, basically fine with what might happen to her. She doesn't want Betty to, like, end up murdered or in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. So then we see Tony telling Veronica about what she heard, that she's with the sisters. And Veronica's like, well, there's the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, but that's like an orphanage. Like, I don't, she says, quote, I don't think they do gay conversion there. Which felt like a very nice way of putting it. And Tony responds with, well, who would know for sure? And Veronica says, oh my God, of course, because of course you're going to ask Kevin about this.
I literally wrote, Veronica says, oh my God, of course, jump cut to Kevin explaining that the sisters are one of the few places that do conversion therapy. He does say it's one of the few places in the country that still do conversion therapy, and then says that they have to do it off the books, which, do the Riverdale writers think that gay conversion therapy is illegal in the majority of the United States?
Now, I will say, this is my because only defense for Riverdale writers. I believe it is illegal in the state of New York, where Riverdale takes place. So I don't know if Kevin's talking about the whole, I mean, he does say like one of the only places, but like, I don't, but I think maybe some of the physical activities that these children are forced to do is probably not legal, but yeah, I feel like it could be on the, I feel like everything they do is off the books. Like, they're just taking in random children. Like,
that is true. They're like a mental institution / orphanage / conversion therapy camp.
And anyway, yeah, it's a mess.
They're doing the most.
Kevin says that they're like, how could we possibly save Cheryl? And he explains there are secret tunnels that were used during Prohibition that the sisters would make booze and bring it out, which I'm like, what? I know they do a lot of illegal shit here, but it just seems like even back then they were just doing whatever.
I love that even in the 20s, the sisters were just doing shit for doing shit's sake. Like, anyways, he also explains that in the modern day, these tunnels still are used because gay boys in the program use it to sneak out, to hook up with perfectly nice young men like myself in Fox Forest, is what he says. To which Veronica responds, wait, Kevin, can you lead us to the secret gay hookup tunnel?
So messy. Kevin was so cute when he was saying that. He's like, perfectly young men like myself.
I'm obsessed with secretly gay hookup tunnels.
Secret gay hookup tunnel. You don't have one of those in your town? You probably do.
The most majestic phrase I've ever heard. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
So anyway, we see Betty has come back home with the money, even though Alice told her not to, and Chick is mad and like saying like, okay, you have the money, just get out of here. And the hostel guy says, sit down or I'll cut your sister's eyes out, which but he's mad because Betty like pepper sprayed him in the eyes. And guess what? The serpents, like the teenage boy serpents, I guess, come in because Betty called them and she's like, get out, like we can take you, and if you try to tell Sheriff Keller, like the sheriff's gonna side with us because we know him, not you Centerville scumbags, which I think is funny because like there's a town by where my grandpa lives called Centerville, so I'm like, huh, yeah. Centerville scumbags.
Yeah, so yeah, then for people who are so concerned about like the classism within their own town, they're very classist against this other town.
I guess when they're actively giving threats, you got to be a little politically incorrect.
I guess. It was just so funny to me. Anyways, Darla then takes the money and leaves.
Yeah.
Then Jughead apologizes for breaking Alice's door. And Alice says, no, like, thank you so much for saving me. Tell the serpents I say thank you. And then she apologizes to Betty for not listening to her sooner and kicks Chick out.
Finally.
It was needed.
So, problem solved. Then we see, well, one problem solved. Because then we see Archie is walking Veronica home. And as soon as they get back, Hiram is like, I might have to give in to them because we're defenseless right now. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But don't worry, because Archie has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me worry more, I'm going to be honest.
No need to worry. Archie has a plan. Then Mary and Fred are at the campaign kickoff, and Mary's like, we should just get started. And so Fred agrees, and he starts his speech without Archie there. Not much to say other than that Mary is holding an umbrella in this scene, even though it is very clearly not raining, but also not a sunny day. Like, it's cloudy, just not raining. I'm like, what is the point of this umbrella?
Yeah. It's sad. Fred's sad that Archie's not there.
Sad. It was a sad moment.
What is Archie doing? He's talking to Reggie. And he's like, I need a favor. And Reggie's like, whatever. They're running against each other. Archie's like, whose side are you even on? Do you want the prison built? Like, what the fuck do you stand for, Reggie? Which is what I've been asking this entire episode. And Archie says that if the Bulldogs stand with him, Reggie can have all the Bulldog votes.
I also love that Reggie's like, well, my dad supports the prison, so blah. Which is just like a very accurate expression of high schoolers' politics in my experience.
Yeah, honestly, it's real.
It's real. Then Tony meets Veronica so they can go rescue Cheryl. And Veronica says, sorry, I had to wait for my parents to do bed check, which was funny to me. They both slay too in their costumes. Cheryl's getting ready for movie night. And so she no longer has to work in the basement. Then Veronica and Tony meet Kevin and he leads them to the tunnels. And they go in but tell Kevin to stay outside and to call his dad if they take longer than 15 minutes. So things are getting serious. They're getting intense.
Yeah, 15 minutes does not sound like that long. I do have to note, Veronica is wearing a full Marine from Rent all black cat suit for this heist.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Then we cut back to Cheryl is like crying watching the movie, feeling very alone. And Tony and Veronica like get through the tunnels. They get into like the actual, I don't know, building, and they're searching all these rooms trying to find her. And Tony eventually does find her in the same room. Like, there's a bunch of kids there watching this movie. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, how many kids are actively doing conversion therapy in this place? It's like 15 kids.
So many, apparently.
And she says, I came to rescue you. And Cheryl like goes up to her and they're standing in front of the screen and they kiss. Cinema.
They don't just kiss. They like aggressively make out in front of this room.
Because that's what these kids want to see instead of this homophobic movie. They want.
It's gay rights.
Yeah.
Then Veronica walks into the room and is like, guys, we gotta go. The nuns are coming.
So they all start sprinting out. There was like, it's like a like 2 minute chase scene, which I'm like, okay, of these nuns chasing them. But they do get out of the tunnel and make it outside, and Kevin is there.
Yeah. Then Lenny and Carl are at the Italian restaurant again, waiting for Hiram, but they're like clearly annoyed that Hiram's not there. Then the server walks over and tells them that Hiram called and sends his regrets and also told them to check on their car. Which, okay.
My question is, like, they carpooled from New York? Like, that's so cute. I was like, it's only one car.
Yeah, there's only the one car. So they carpooled from somewhere. They said they've been staying in town. So, like, whatever hotel they were at, I guess they just decided to carpool?
Aw, they're cute.
Support them. They seem like a thriving couple.
Anyway, we see these group of guys come out, like, masked, and of course, it's the Dark Circle. They're like, we're the Dark Circle, and Hiram isn't alone. We stand with him. Explode the fucking car.
Yeah, I was like, before they appear, though, the car fucking explodes in the most dramatic explosion you've ever seen. It was bad. I think that What's Face watched this for his inspiration for Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan, that's his name.
Yeah, definitely. It was that big. I just like that Archie's like creativity extends from Red Circle to Dark Circle. Which isn't even a good name, because Dark Circle is like dark circles around your eyes. Like, I have dark circles because I'm a sleepy girl.
You're tired. Then Mary goes and talks to Archie about missing Fred's announcement. And she says she doesn't even know who he is anymore, which I have complicated feelings about, because on the one hand, like, yeah, Archie's kind of being a little bit of a shit, but also, it's really fucked up to say to your teenage son, Mary.
And it's also fucked up to say when you, like, visit him once a year, based on what we've seen. Like, yeah, you don't know him. You don't visit him. You don't pay child support, Mary.
She's like, you're not the sweet little boy I used to know anymore. And it's like, yeah, because he's 16 now. Like,
part of her like speech on how Archie's changed, she's like, you used to play music, and I'm like, please do not encourage him. Please don't, Mary. You don't have to deal with it. If he starts playing music again, you just go back to Chicago. We have to deal with this, okay?
Mary doesn't understand that Archie's mob arc is actually good for society because he stopped singing.
Like, here's why Hiram Lodge's prison is actually beneficial to Riverdale. One, it stopped Archie from singing. Anyway, then we see Alice comes in to personally thank the serpents again for saving them. And Alice is like, I'm done attacking the South Side, and I am a serpent, and I'm from the South Side, and I'm going to be proud of that. Which seems like a major 180, but I'm like, okay.
She's doing a major 180 because they did her a solid. And during this scene, we see Alice go to FP's trailer, knock on the door. He gives her, like, a knowing look, spits his gum out, and slams the door. So it's, like, pretty heavily implied that they fucked. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Maybe that's the 180. She's like, that's what I could get if I simply just became a Southside Serpent again. Do it for FP.
I miss hooking up with my girlfriend, or my daughter's boyfriend's dad.
Miss those days. Anyway, speaking of uncomfortable dynamics, Hiram, as a reward for Archie's brilliant plan, has bought him a fucking convertible, like this fancy, fancy car. And Archie's like, I can't possibly accept this. Which don't accept this, Archie. Don't do it.
No, but he does, because Veronica and Hermione are both like, no, accept it. It's a great offer. Yeah. they were like, really, we're doing us a solid because you're going to be driving Veronica to school. So, like, she needs a nice car to be driven around in. I don't know. It is what it is.
Hiram and Archie talk and say that this is a short-term solution and that the enemies will be back, but they're gone for now. And then Veronica's like, I'll drive to school. I'm like, you're not even going to let Archie, like, test out the car for himself?
Nope. Nope, he's not. Then at school, Tony is talking to Cheryl in the student lounge, and Cheryl says she's gonna get revenge on Penelope and Claudius, but something else is more pressing, and that something else is that Carrie the musical is happening soon, and she's intent on being the lead.
Slay. She tells Kevin to cancel the auditions for Carrie.
Like, she says, I'm obviously Riverdale High's Carrie White, and this school is gonna burn.
Whoop! Carrie episode, our first musical episode is next.
I'm so excited. I'm, like, so excited.
I'm very excited.
Not my favorite musical episode, but it's still a slay. A slay of a musical episode.
No, it might be my least favorite musical episode.
I think it has the best plot of any of the musical episodes.
Actually, I think season 6 is musical episode. Yeah. What's the next to normal?
Was that next to normal?
No. Next to normal is 5. The one about the killer. You definitely know it.
The one about the killer.
It's like there was a book and people always reference. I know what I'm talking about.
A Wicked Little Town?
No, that's the Hedwig one. That's the best one.
That is the Hedwig.
American Psycho. Jesus Christ.
My God. I forgot that. I did forget about that one.
Hedwig one is, I think, my favorite episode of Riverdale ever. Maybe. I mean, we'll get to it, I guess.
It's good.
I have time to scrutinize each episode now. Anyway, what was your outfit of the episode, Evan?
I think mine was Veronica in the, like, River Vixen Practice campaign shirt.
Team Archie. Mine is Penelope's homophobic slay.
What was your quote of the episode, Allison?
Honestly, iconic episode. Lots happened. I didn't write down that many quotes.
It was very plot heavy, but not great, like, quote heavy.
I think I'm gonna say something you didn't even notice was Veronica saying God and Gucci willing.
I noticed it. I was just too lazy to write it down.
I was just like, why? Why, Veronica? Yeah.
I think mine is, we can all guess. Wait, Kevin, can you lead us to the secret gay hookup tunnel?
Yep. And he did.
He got them to the secret gay hookup tunnel. And what more can you ask from a man?
He did. He did. You know, we haven't done her yet. So I think we need to do Cheryl.
Oh, I know we do.
As this was her conversion therapy episode, I feel like she deserves to have her Kinsey scale alignment acknowledged. We're doing Kinsey scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. We are doing Miss Cheryl Blossom, bombshell, Miss Cheryl Bombshell, owner of Red Blossom. You ready?
Yeah, I think so.
1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I said similar 6. Track.
I said 5. Yeah.
Would you like to explain?
So obviously lesbian, like full strong lesbian. I think I gave her a 5 simply because of the Archie crush comp hat moment.
An iconic moment.
It was just like a little too intense that I'm like, I think you're a 5.
Yeah, I see that. I was honestly debating 6 or 5, but I just like extreme comped almost makes you more gay.
That's fair.
Right? Like, it's counterintuitive, but it's true. And also, Archie is such a like compet crush. Like, if she had a crush on like fucking Jughead or something, I'd be like, maybe there's like a slight bit of realness to it, but it's just like Archie, king football player, looks exactly like her brother, question mark. There was a lot going on.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there.
She did not get converted, so she remains Akinsey 6, thank God.
Thank God.
Anything else this episode?
I can't think of anything. This an episode kind of continued last episode of everyone just making the most chaotic choices possible at every turn.
I'm excited for the entire rest of the season.
I was like, I'm so excited for this season to continue. We are just approaching my favorite parts of this season.
Yeah. Anyway, don't accept cars from your boyfriend's, your boyfriend. Don't accept cars from your girlfriend's dad.
And if you think your friend might have been forced into conversion therapy, check on them.
Yeah, save them.
You can reach out to us, let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at cherylsbwords@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches, or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is cherylsbwords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.